Thanks for tuning into Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along.
Well, hello and welcome back to Conversations About Meaningful Things. My name is Steve. Glad to welcome you back around the table with myself and my good friend Alex. How are you today,
Alex? Hey, I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Good. Doing well.
Great.
You know, I think there's lots of stuff that we talk about all the time, actually, because, you know, we see each other more than just when we're sitting behind microphones.
We do. Almost daily.
Almost daily, yeah. We talk about food.
It's my favorite thing to talk about. One of my favorite things.
But I don't want to just talk about food. Like, I actually want food. So, anyway, but yeah, we do have lots of conversations, and we've invited you, the listener, into our conversations as well. And as a matter of fact, if you're thinking about something you wish we would be talking about, you can let us know that. We have an email dedicated to the podcast. It's called podcast@victorchurch.org.
It's very straightforward.
Very straightforward. It's user-friendly. podcast@victorchurch.org.
Very straightforward as we say it wrong.
So, just, you know, let us know what your thoughts are, something maybe you want to talk about, initiate a conversation. And, you know, I was thinking, Alex, like, talking about talking a little bit, right?
And yeah.
So, but everybody, you know, has lots of opportunities for interactions with people, right?
Yeah, every day.
Every day, whether we're, you know, well, I will say we do live in a culture, though, that has diminished that quite a bit.
Sure.
Right? Because I remember growing up, and I'm a little bit older than you, but like... hanging around like with my grandfather, and yeah, he would stop by to get fuel in the car, and he'd talk to the guy at the auto shop, and then he'd go into the grocery store and, you know, talk to the person behind the bakery counter that he knew because he always goes to the same place, or maybe he'd stop at the bank and say hello to, you know, those folks that he knows there, and, you know, all of those kinds of things. But things have changed quite a bit in our culture, right? I can pay at the pump. I don't need to talk to anybody. I can have my food delivered to my front door, and they just knock and run and let you know your food's there. And like, you could actually go through, you could go through quite a long stretch of time, like very long, actually, if you were trying to, and not interact with a single person.
That's true.
Which is so strange because we're relational people, like people tend to crave relationship. And so, so I guess my question for you is, like, as you're going through your day, how do you decide, like, am I going to talk to a person or not? Am I going to have a conversation or not? Do I want an interaction or don't I? Like,
have I had a cup of coffee yet or not?
Am I ready to interact with anybody? Yeah.
No, I see where this conversation's going. I love it. I also, do you think, I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. We've talked about this on the podcast before, and I almost hate bringing it up because my left eye twitches every time I do, but do you feel like, you know, things like COVID really accelerated a cultural shift that was, we were already heading in that lane, but it was almost like we hit the gas pedal on, as a culture, we tend to avoid interactions with other people.
I definitely think it had an effect, right? There were certain things that happened that shoved us further down that road, maybe quicker than we were ready to, or just, okay, well, here we go. Like, we're like working remotely, like not actually having a meeting with someone, but getting on a screen with someone, like, oh, I'm gonna stay 6 feet away from you. I can't so touch you. I don't want to talk face to face with you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it definitely accelerated some things.
Yeah,
The other thing that I think I saw in that acceleration,
mm-hmm.
it created a certain comfort level with that, mm-hmm. that we yeah. were forced, it was forced upon us.
Yep.
I'm not placing blame anywhere. I'm just saying the circumstances of that time frame, we had to get comfortable with not interacting with people.
Yeah.
And I'm a little uncomfortable mm-hmm. that we are comfortable not interacting with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
For some, and that's why I'm kind of asking the question, like, how do we decide? How do we have some conversations with people and mm-hmm. What are things that, you know, can we just talk to each other kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is interesting. Like, I've seen this. I even fall into this. Like, I have, in my mind, I'm very missional when I'm going out to do something. Like, I'm going to go to Lowe's because I need a piece of lumber, or I'm going to go to the grocery store because I need a snack.
Yes.
Which is an often occurrence. and yeah, it's like, I'm embarrassed to say this, but like, I feel inconvenienced when somebody stops me to talk to me, because it's just like, I wasn't planning on this. And yeah, I think it is. I can't be the only one that feels that way, but it does sadden me, because somebody posed this to me a while ago. Like, you know, an average neighborhood used to be kind of centered around the front porch. Like, you knew your neighbors, you knew their names, and they were usually kind of hanging out up front, and you would walk by, and it was like, that's just norm. Like, you would sit on a porch and have a conversation with people. Now it's like, it's all about the backyard, baby. Like, fence that thing up. Don't let people see what you're doing. Make that your oasis. And I don't think having proper boundaries for yourself or your family is an unhealthy thing. I think that's a very healthy thing to have.
Right, right.
I do wonder, though, like, do you think...
I mean, just the front porch thing. It's, what a shift, because, you know,
right.
I don't know the research, but my observation is, you know, nowadays, someone's at our front porch or our front door, and we're like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
who is that? What's going on?
Don't answer the door.
Turn the lights down and hide in the corner. Like,
we're
it's almost
home.
Like we're just afraid of each other and like, just, hey, how's it going? I'm not saying that there's not reason to be cautious. We, you know, as we talked about on a previous episode, we do live in a broken world, and there are things that aren't the way they should be.
Yeah.
So I get that. And like you said, having proper boundaries, you know, we don't just, hey, you know, invite anybody and everybody, yo, come on in our house. I don't know you, walk through my house. Like,
yeah.
We don't do that. But, you know, the fear of interaction is like, it's such a strange thing.
Do you think part of it is, I just wonder, like, we are so inundated with, I don't want to say it, like if you are online, if you are a consumer of social media, or your life is on there, you know, I mean, think about your cell phone right now. If it's like almost a symbiotic part of you, like, you couldn't imagine going through a day without your cell phone, which I fall prey to that all the time. But we're constantly having input, right? It's like, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing what this person's doing. So there's a lot going on in my mind sometimes when I'm consuming that, where it's like almost the interaction, the spontaneous interaction or the conversation, it feels like I don't have capacity in my head to do one more thing. I don't want to be inconvenienced by this. I wonder if there's a correlation. Sometimes we are so distracted by a lot of things that the interaction with another human sometimes feels like the biggest inconvenience on planet Earth.
Well, I think some of that shift has been, you know, it used to be that we had to be intentional and go out.
Right.
I'm going to go out to my neighbor's front porch, you know?
Yeah.
And, it's not us going out for those things anymore. It's those are coming at us so hard. I mean, even when you know, you set on your phone the setting, and it's literally called push notifications.
Right.
Like things are just pushing at us all the time.
Yeah.
And I do agree. There's been a, whether we think about it or not, there's definitely been a cultural response to that push where, we tend to be extremely guarded now. And like, oh, I'm dealing with so much being pushed at me that, you know, if I can keep you away or them away, then I will, because I can.
Yeah.
It's almost like we have more control over our human interaction than we do with our digital interaction, which is sad to say, because we should have control over all of that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it is a setting adjustment on our devices so that we have the capacity, you said capacity earlier, so that we actually have the capacity for human interaction rather than, you know, having to be so much in a gatekeeper mode of all of the stuff that's coming at us. You know, and those are personal choices for sure. Every person has to make those, you know, and they may look slightly different for each person, but I think it's something that we should be intentional about rather than just kind of allowing all sorts of other sources make those decisions for us.
So can I ask you a question from your perspective?
No, I can't. I can't handle one more thing now, Alex, please.
I can't be bothered by you, by this. I'm leaving.
No, what's the question?
Let me get out. I'm just curious, because if you're listening to this and you don't know, Steve is a lead pastor of a church, of our church, Victory Community Church. So if you don't know that, now you do.
Now you do. Now you know.
Amongst a lot of other things.
The cat's out of the bag.
We're not into like labels from the standpoint of, you know, now you know everything you need to know about Steve. But I'm just curious because, I mean, in this role, obviously, we have certain responsibilities that we feel, I mean, a part of our calling is to equip people for ministry, to encourage people in their walk with Jesus. I'm just curious, like in the conversations that you have, like, do you notice the tension here with, I just think about like helping people communicate to others the hope that they have, trying to have faith conversations. Do you notice like the fact that we do see in our culture like an awkwardness with having real conversations with people that are not through a screen or through other means? Like, do you see that having an impact on people's ability or willingness to share Jesus with others?
I think at times it does. Again, I think we're somewhat conditioned to not have deep conversations with people. And I think, you know, we have literally physiologically, we've been conditioned that our attention spans are very short, that interactions need to be quick. And most people decide within the first 2.8 seconds whether they're going to continue to be interested in whatever's coming at them.
That's wild.
But I do think that one of the things I would just really hope people would be willing to consider is just be willing to engage a person beyond that 3-second superficial interaction, like to actually, and I think that comes from, or at least is rooted somewhat in, actually caring about other people.
Yeah.
Because if you don't care about other people, then they become a means to an end.
Yeah.
And so that's why in the first 2.8 seconds, are you going to help me or not? Okay. Mm-hmm. If you are, maybe I'll stay there for another 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But if I've already determined you're no help to me because people are just a means to an end, then gone. See ya. Goodbye. Yeah. But to actually care about other people and, you know, how are you? What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, can we connect at some level at some point? And so, you know, kind of we've entitled this podcast Conversations About Meaningful Things. You know, maybe just a checkpoint question for you as the listener is, when's the last time, other than like a immediate family member, or maybe even an immediate family member, you could clearly identify when you had a conversation about something meaningful to you and the other person.
Yeah.
Like those are becoming fewer and far between.
Yep. No, I agree with you. And that's an observation that I think a lot of probably our listeners have experienced. I certainly have. There's a lack of a dialogue between people. It's more like I want to, as loudly as I can, voice my opinion. And it's almost like you see people get in camps of like, I think my camp's right, your camp's wrong, the other group is going, well, I'm right, you're wrong, and it's just a shouting match. And you know, I've heard it said, like, when people stop talking, that's where violence begins. It's like when we start when we start avoiding people because we see them, I think it's the most dehumanizing thing that we can do when we don't have any empathy towards somebody else to consider, like, hey, maybe they have something important to contribute, or maybe there's something I can learn from that other person.
Yeah. A good friend of mine years ago said something that has stuck with me, and I'll change a little bit of the wording, but the principle is the same. And that is, I try and hear before trying to be heard. Mm. And, you know, if we all do that, the volume lowers tremendously.
Yeah.
Because when all we're trying to do is be heard, then we're shouting over each other, sometimes literally, but, you know, figuratively as well. You know, when can we slow down enough to see the other person and try and hear the other person? And if we're all doing that, I think we all get heard.
Yeah.
If we're just trying to be heard, then it's just whoever happens to yell the loudest, and everyone else gets frustrated. So,
yeah.
I do just want to encourage folks, you know, have a meaningful conversation with another person. Yeah. Care about the people around you enough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a contagious thing, by the way. What I've observed is people that care about other people have other people that care about them.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, to be, we talked about COVID earlier, you know, one of the big fears of COVID was the contagion factor. But man, there's a lot of things that are so healthy that are contagious. Yeah. And I think caring about each other is one of them. Listening to each other is one of them. Having a meaningful conversation is one of them.
Yeah. And we're wired up that way to be in relationship with other people, like in a more than just surface level, you're a means to the end way. God's design for us.
There's a deep desire for connection. That's clear in so many aspects of who we are and our culture, our history over all of time. We desire connection. You see that in the development of people. You and I have spent some years in youth ministry, you know, as you see middle schoolers and high schoolers, you know, trying to figure out who they are and who they are and where they fit. Why? Because we're desiring connection. We're trying to figure that stuff out. Why? Because there's a deep desire and a deep need for that, for connection, for relationship. It's the way God created us. It's the way we're wired. Mm. I think when we've experienced things that are tragic and we don't respond well to them, we become callous to those. And that's where you see people who are kind of like a hermit or super standoffish or whatever kind of words we want to use. Yeah. But that's a result of something. That's not the way God created us. That's not the way he desires us to be. And so, you know, we desire that deep connection. If you're listening today, you're probably, even if you're a loner, you're probably listening because there's some shred of a desire for connection for you. Yeah. And so I think we all feel that. We all know that. Maybe we don't think about it tangibly at the forefront of our thinking, but it's there. If you're, I mean, if you stop and ask somebody, even a loner, have you ever just desired human connection?
Yeah.
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
We desire that. We're created that way.
Yeah. And I think we can see that played out in all sorts of ways. Like, two sides of the coin here that I see. The one side on the the side where we experience maybe some brokenness or unhealth is the I desire connection, and so I try to get it through taking shortcuts, whether that's you live your life online and you have this feeling of like I feel connected, but then it's just a mirage, right? As soon as the screen goes off, you're back to where you were, or using people in relationships to get that. I mean, we see that played out in a lot of different ways, and all of those things that if we try to shortcut this, it leaves us feeling more empty than we did before. And
we kind of have that counterfeit version of it, and then we realize, oh, that wasn't it. That leaves us feeling more empty than actually having the genuine thing. Right?
Absolutely.
And it's, listen, God said it from the beginning. It's not good for man to be alone.
Yeah.
We connection's a part of that. And we live in, the world we live in today has so many opportunity for those false or facade connections.
Yeah.
And so we have to be really, we have to be discerning in this area.
Absolutely.
Otherwise we set ourselves up for, I don't know if failure is the right word, but we set ourselves up to have that dilemma.
Yeah. So I think, if you're listening today, chances are you at least know areas of your life where, that desire to be fulfilled in real connection with somebody else, you've probably experienced some of the counterfeits that are out there. I don't know if we need to spend a ton of time going through what those are, but maybe something helpful for us to talk about in our last 10 minutes or so is how do we experience genuine connection? Like, what are some steps that you think, Steve, are practical for somebody to walk in that, like, hey, I realize this is an area, like, I have relationships, but maybe they're really shallow, or I have connection, but it's all superficial. I'm not really truly hearing other people or letting people know the real me. What is something that a person could do?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about the first thing that comes to mind, we've talked about already, but is just to have a conversation with somebody. A conversation that goes beyond like, oh, good game by our favorite sports team this weekend, or,
right.
And I think there's a lot of opportunity for, whether it's parents on the sidelines while practice is happening or while the game's happening, like actually talk to other parents, if you're a student, maybe you're on the bus or you're walking, home, you happen to be in the same direction as some other folks, or, you got 10 minutes in between classes or whatever, like just engage in a conversation, like be willing to put yourself out there a little bit. Hey, I was thinking about that, or, oh, I really like that, or I don't like that. Like I think our culture has this very gun shy when it comes to sharing our opinions or our thoughts, because we don't want to be attacked for it, and we don't want to be the odd person out. But engage in a conversation where you're talking about stuff that actually matters to you, or you think maybe matters to the other person. I think that's one.
Yeah.
And I think look for opportunities to invest in people. Mm-hmm. Whether it's an encouraging word, whether it's helping somebody out, how can you invest in the people around you? They're in your life for a reason. They're there. The convenience factor should be pretty high if you're already seeing these people. Like, I don't have to go out of my way to find somebody that I could help out a little bit, right? How can you invest in the people around you, even in a simple way? Well, maybe you've got a senior citizen that lives, two doors down from you. Can you just drag their garbage cans in for them on garbage day? Like anything that promotes authentic connection with others.
Yeah. I love that, Steve. That's super practical. And I think, obviously God's got a lot to say about this. I just think even just in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, the wisest man to ever live, King Solomon, even though these books aren't, they're not if you do this, this will happen, but it's books of wisdom. It's a lot of like, these are really good things to live by. And, there's so much in there that he talks about just the value of a friend.
Oh, yeah.
One, if you If you lay down by yourself, you're going to get cold. You got a buddy there, you'll stay warm. Yeah. Super paraphrasing.
No, you're right, though. And they're, as you said, they're books of wisdom and they're books of principle.
Yeah.
Not usually prescription.
Right.
Right? It's like, live your life.
You don't have to go on a camp out.
This way. Right. God's not saying, go buy one sleeping bag. And, you know, the scripture's not... typically not formulaic, right? It's not an equation. If you do A plus B, you're going to end up with C.
Yeah.
There are principles to live by.
Yeah. I do think, I mean, even in, if there was one person that probably didn't need to have two-way conversation, relationship, and seek out other people to do life with, it probably was Jesus. Fully God, but yet fully man. I just see his life lived out in this constant prioritizing connection and relationship with other people. And I think the example that I see for me is, man, Jesus made time for people. Even when he was on mission and heading somewhere that he knew God the Father was directing him, there were so many side quests, if you will, so many things that, like, somebody's need arose, or there was a person that needed a conversation, and he would make time for that. And I think the encouragement I feel through today, it's something that I think is helpful for me, is just starting my day with a simple prayer of, God, would you help me have my eyes open today for people that you have placed in my path that you desire me to make a connection with. I try to start my day off with that in mind, because it doesn't catch me off guard as much when all of a sudden there's a text from a person I haven't talked to in years, or some random person in the line at Aldi that, hey, God, I asked him for this and here we are.
Yeah.
It does help. And I think if we're in that frame of mind that we're asking God to put those people in our path, that we shouldn't be surprised when he does. And I think for us, it's like, you know, if you're listening to this and you consider yourself a Christian, I even just think that's our call as followers, whether you would consider yourself the biggest extrovert on the planet, or you are like legit sort of afraid of people.
Human contact freezes you.
Like, you're like, I'm the most awkward human on the planet. Nobody wants to have a conversation with me. False. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, and he desires to use you to draw people to himself. And I think that if we can frame our mind that way, that is a really, really helpful to begin being a person that wherever you go, you're that bit of hope that somebody might need. And again, I think,
And we tend to see what we're looking for. So, you know, we shouldn't be surprised if we're saying, God, is there somebody you want me to connect with today? And then there's that person like, okay, God's answering my prayer.
Yeah.
But you know, you're a musician, you play, I'm sort of want to be an athlete, so I sort of play. But in both of those endeavors, things get easier the more we practice.
Yep.
And I think this is one of those areas of life where it will get better the more we practice it.
Yeah.
Right. So have that opportunity in front of you and step into it.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much, and it doesn't take long to make a connection with a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you mentioned the line at Aldi's, like, you could have a 30-second conversation in line at Aldi's that is doing exactly what we've been talking about this whole episode. Yep. Right.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be this big grandiose event, just in the normal flow of life.
Yeah.
Have your eyes open and be willing to engage others and have that conversation.
Absolutely. And I think try not to see people as obstacles or inconveniences, but as a person made in the image of God, just like you are.
Yeah.
If we start seeing people that way, they're not inconveniences. And yes, there's going to be times where we got to get where we're going and I get that. And I think another maybe just practical thing as we're wrapping up today, what would it look like to delete one social media app off your phone today or replace the one interaction that you have online with an actual one-to-one interaction? Maybe that's, you know, because again, we're so, I think, prone to have so much input from a lot of people that we don't even know. Instead, replacing maybe one of those interactions with a real person. Yeah. Again, and I think if we begin to do that, like you said, Steve, the practice of that, we begin to build some new rhythms in our life. And I think we're stepping into something that God desires for us.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you mentioned a couple of things which I think are really important, how we view people.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, don't see them as a inconvenience.
Or an obstacle.
Or an obstacle. Yeah. And I would just add one thing to that list, or a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can see beyond those three things, which are so very common in our culture, I think we'll really begin to move into really cool territory.
Yeah. So take one step today to have a meaningful conversation with another person, and don't be surprised when God uses that to do amazing things in and through you.
Great. Good talk today, Alex.
Yeah, Steve. Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
We'll talk to you guys later.